shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Score! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Splits the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Shoot! Score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Nico Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Here comes Granlund with his own. Kyle Granlund cuts back behind the net, kicks the puck and skates to himself, fights for control up the right wing boards. He's still got it. He sends a pass across to the left side. Here's Ferraro sending toward the goal in front. Score! A turnaround shot by Fabian Zetterlund, atoning for a couple of other earlier errors. Zetterlund puts the Sharks on the board with 8:12 to play in the second. It's 2-1 Columbus.
We had plenty of chances, especially in the third period. Hit a couple posts. Made some good saves in the third, but dug ourselves a little bit of a hole with our start. You know, our first period certainly wasn't anything what we wanted it to be, but I thought we gradually got better as the game went on and made a great push in the third period.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing on a Sunday as we get ready for the San Jose Sharks to quickly turn the page on last night and take on Chicago? But, you know, one of the things that I look out of last night's game is that you saw a bit of the future of the San Jose Sharks. And I know that's something you've heard me say before, and it's something that I'm going to continue to talk about as we get deeper and deeper into this season, because I don't know what else there really is to explain at this point. The roster is at a talent deficit. We do not have the horses, even with a team like Columbus. We do not have the horses to really go up against them unless everything goes perfect, and specifically not on the road. And we've seen some of the issues lately, like the breakaway rear its head in this game. We saw, you know, just some overall lack of, you know, really great play at certain moments, although this was not one of those games where the Sharks had their big lapses that allowed them to see a game get away. But, you know, you go down early on the road, even if you do have a good effort, even if you do push yourself back into it, when you're down 2-0 and 3-1, it still takes a lot out of you to get back into it. And I didn't think that anybody was particularly bad throughout the game or anything like that. It's just where the Sharks team is right now, what they are trying to do, what they're trying to get done, it is not going to be easy for them in many situations. But that doesn't mean that I didn't like some of the individual efforts. I thought that Crona, yeah, he got beat on the second goal in particular, but the other two goals he gave up, I'm not really having that much of an issue with them. You know, that's just kind of hockey, how it goes sometimes. If you got a guy coming in and jabbing it in there on that first one and gets under the pad, yeah, that can happen. The third one, again, a little bit of a situation. I suppose he might want that one back, but I didn't hate anything about that. And if you give up three goals on the road in the NHL, I think that means you're an NHL caliber goalie. Now, obviously, Crona hasn't been around for very long and does not have a long bit of history to show if that's something he can do sustainably. But for the majority of what we've seen out of Crona as of late, except for the game against Pittsburgh, which I think he would want a couple back, and I'm not saying that he was the problem, he was not at his best, but, you know, for the most part, what we're seeing out of Magnus Crona, I like the game we're getting out of him. We will see if we see Devin Cooley today. I would imagine that is probably going to be the play from San Jose. But right now, I think the Sharks just have to continue fighting and have to keep on building towards the future. And, you know, I looked at that first goal from Fabian Zetterlund, where you had Mikhail Granlund working low behind the net, going around the boards, working it low to high, gets it around to Ferraro, then Ferraro puts it on net. You're asking questions of the defense. It gets knocked down. Zetterlund's there to clean it up and bring it to the back of the net. Like, those are the type of plays that I think that you can kind of be excited about, where it's like, hey, you know, this team is capable of creating things even in difficult situations. And for Fabian Zetterlund, that's his 18th goal of the season. He has been playing great all year long. And for Zetterlund, I just like seeing that aspect of his game, the ability to clean it up and get into the tight spaces and get into the places where guys don't want to be. And, you know, that's going to be a huge part of his game. And if he finishes this year in excess of 20 goals and maybe gets into that 25 range, you know, considering where his prospect status was previously when the Sharks acquired him and the type of game that he's shown this year. I mean, he didn't score a goal with the Sharks last year. I liked his game. It just wasn't happening for him. But this year, he's put his head down. He's gone to work, showed up in camp in great shape. He's been just battling all year long. And you watch the way that he has been playing, and I see the effort. And I see the same thing with Mikhail Granlund. I go back to the game on Thursday when we thought that he had maybe been lost for the season due to a knee injury, and he's slamming his hand into the ice. He's frustrated. He's angry. And then he's back out there not too much later. I mean, those are the kind of things the guys show that they care. And I think that in a lost season where it's easy for guys to maybe lose a little bit of their mental focus and lose a little bit of the drive and desire, the fact that we're still seeing that kind of play from Granlund, from Ferraro, from Zetterlund, important guys, and I think that we would view as part of the immediate and, you know, distant future as well. I think that says a lot. And, you know, you're getting these opportunities for guys like Henry Thrun. He got a goal in this game, and he's had some growing pains as of late, but you like Thrun's game, and you see what he can do for the future. You know, Mario Ferraro, he's a team leader. He's been a big part of what this team has done over the years and what they're going to continue to do going forward. You know, he's in there. Everything that the Sharks didn't do yesterday in terms of being able to get the win, I still saw a lot of drive and mentality that makes me feel like the future is maybe closer than some believe it is. And I know when you're away on the outside and you're on the East Coast and you see the Sharks record and you see what Mike Greer is doing, you know, maybe it can be a little bit deceiving to think, oh, this team is, you know, a decade away or something to that extent. And listen, I don't know what the exact future is. And obviously the Sharks are not good right now. I'm not going to make the argument that they are, but you know, I just see a lot of these small little things going into the Sharks game that do give me, you know, a little bit of hope. You know, Granlund getting a point, LeBanc, even though he's probably at the end of his Shark stint, he is getting a point and battling in last night's game. Ferraro, Zetterlund, Thrun, I liked all their games last night, and I think that Granlund, Ferraro, Zetterlund, and Thrun are a big part of the Sharks' future. And then you look at the rest of the roster and you see other guys that are going to be part of the Sharks' future, Eklund and Bordalo and Sturm, and I hope Zadina. And you also start looking at Klim Kostin, whose game I have appreciated, and Luke Cunningham. And, you know, I don't know what the future is for a Carpenter and a Bailey specifically, but I have liked both their games and the way that they have really, you know, fought their way from the Barracuda and the A and getting into the Sharks lineup on a consistent basis. That doesn't happen by accident, something that I will always say. And no, if I'm not naming anybody specifically, that's not saying that I'm against them or anything like that, but it just, you look at the way the game goes down. You look at the way the Sharks played throughout this game. It was not great, but they kept on battling and gave themselves a chance. And yeah, you get down 2-0 early on the road. You give up that early second period goal, which is the one that I think that Crona would want back. But, you know, again, Zetterlund gets back into it. You know, they give themselves a chance. And then Johnny Gaudreau, you know, he gets that goal. And yeah, it's a little bit painful at that point. You're down 3-1. But again, not early in the third, but, you know, well, then there's still a good amount of time left. You make it 3-2, and it turns into a one-goal game, and at the end, there's an empty netter that makes it look a little bit more, not lopsided than it was, but not as close as it was, and yeah, that's how it goes in the NHL. So again, I appreciated the effort. I liked the battle that the Sharks brought to the table. I thought they did a very good job in terms of reestablishing themselves after getting in the early hole, but you know, we say it for a reason. You know, chasing a game on the road is not a good situation. Like, yeah, if this was a Sharks team of old, if this was, you know, a team right now that's towards the top of the NHL, you get down 2-0 on the road, you can get yourself back into that game. And we, you know, I saw Sharks teams, I've watched other teams around the NHL have that same situation go down time and time and time again. But for the Sharks, that's a hard deficit to overcome, because on the road, they're often not scoring more than two goals. And, you know, three seems to be about their limit on the road this season on a consistent basis. So you knew it was going to be difficult. But again, you get back into it. You're down 2-1, okay? It's a one-goal game. They add on to that, okay? You get back into it. You're down 3-2, and it holds tight to the end of the game. I think that says something about the Sharks. They're still battling. They're still trying. It's a tough situation. They're out of the playoffs. They know they're in a rebuild. They've just traded away Tomáš Hertl. Their captain's not coming back, but the fight remains. And so I'm focusing on that as opposed to the fact that, yeah, it's another loss. There's been a lot of losing this year. There's still, you know, games left where they will probably lose the majority of. Not that I think they're going to lose the rest, but I do think more wins are going to be hard to come by, for lack of a better term. But again, they're still fighting. They're still battling. So I appreciate it. All right, let's take a look back at some of the highlights out of this one. It was Boone Jenner who gave the Columbus Blue Jackets the early lead.
Here comes the Jackets, 2-on-1. Gaudreau coming in with Jenner. Gives it to Jenner. Goes for the deke. Great stop. Rebound. Score. Well, there's the cannon, the first one of the night. 2:19 to go in the first period. The Blue Jackets take the 1-0 lead, and Boone Jenner The man who got the game-winning goal with 13 seconds left in February at SAP Center comes in, gets the pass from Johnny Gaudreau. Only one man back in Addison, and it's in the back of the net on the rebound after Krona got a piece of the first drive.
The cannon's going off. Momentum has gone to the way of Columbus, and you are suddenly down 1-0 on the road. I think the Sharks responded decently after that, but it didn't take long for Columbus to double up their lead less than a minute into the second period.
Ferraro for the Sharks, banks it forward. Nice tip there by Granlund over to Barabanov. Spins, throws it over to the middle, off the stick of Granlund. It stays in the zone, though. Efforted there by Zetterlund, but he just swept it right back to the Blue Jackets, and a headman goes up the right side. Nylander moves and shoots and scores! Zetterlund turns over the puck. Blue Jackets take advantage, and Nylander beats Krona to make it 2-0, 49 seconds into the second period, and there goes the cannon. They're cheering in Columbus.
I guess if you're looking for a positive there, it's that Fabian Zetterlund has not been the mistake-prone player all year long, and every player in the NHL is going to be, you know, prone to making mistakes. It's just a matter of managing that mostly out of your game, being careful with the puck. You know, even Wayne Gretzky would occasionally turn the puck over. Not very often, but it did happen. It happens to every player in the NHL, and I think the fact that it's something we haven't seen a lot with Fabian Zetterlund is something we can all be okay with. That's the goal that I think that, you know, Magnus Krona, if you could look at them all, would want back. But obviously, you know, that's the Blue Jackets being opportunistic, and being opportunistic in the world of the NHL goes a long way. But Fabian Zetterlund atoned for his sin after some good work deep from Mikael Granlund.
Here comes Granlund into the zone. Mikael Granlund cuts back behind the net, kicks the puck in his skates to himself. Fights for control up the right wing boards. He still got it. He sends a pass across to the left side. Here's Ferraro sending toward the goal in front. Score! A turnaround shot by Fabian Zetterlund, atoning for a couple of other earlier errors. Zetterlund puts the Sharks on the board with 8:12 to play in the second. It's 2-1 Columbus.
In case you are wondering, Fabian Zetterlund is on pace for 22.363634 goals over the course of an 82-game season. He has 18 goals in 66 games. So, yeah, you know, that's a good season for Fabian Zetterlund. 22 goals, and I think that, you know, if he has one game where he kind of goes a little bit above or gets on a little bit of a heater, you know, that could get up towards 25. And I think, again, if he's getting 25 goals at this point of his career on this Sharks team, I think the future is very bright for him. And I hope that he'll be able to continue to flourish in San Jose, because I feel like his effort is something that Sharks fans respond to. I feel like his teammates respond to him, and he's got a good thing going on in San Jose. So, you know, Fabian Zetterlund, he's not been like the ultimate heater player where he gets goals scoring in bunches. I just feel like he's consistently going about his work. And even if he's not going to be a superstar who's ever going to be in the 30 to 40 goal range or even above that, if you have a player who just consistently is a contributor who can add 25 goals a year or 20 to 25, like, I'll take that any day of the week. You give me that kind of consistent effort, I'm going to be very happy to have you on my team. And that means there's other stars on the team, hopefully, you know, that are being the more aggregate scores and compiling, while Fabian Zetterlund just consistently is a great player out there on the ice. So it's 2-1 at this point, and then it is Johnny Gaudreau, who, by the way, even with this goal that he's about to score, still 7 fewer than Fabian Zetterlund on the season. That is not a storyline that I expected to hear.
2-1 the score. Blue Jackets lead the Sharks off the faceoff. Jake Christensen tries the shot, deflected wide. Boone Jenner behind the net, presses his stick up against the boards, grabs it, throws it back. Nylander, now Jenner, side of the net, score! That's actually Johnny Gaudreau's side of the goal. Boone Jenner took the play, fed it back to the point, and Johnny Gaudreau gets the puck on his stick. And that sets off the cannon with 4:57 left in the third. After a face-off win by Columbus, they take the 3-1 lead, and Johnny Gaudreau gets credit for the goal, his 11th of the year.
So it's 3-1 at this point, and again, a good response from Columbus after seeing their 2-goal deficit go down to a 2-1 lead. It's a 1-goal game. It's a matter of minutes. 3 minutes after the Sharks made it 2-1. Then you go into the third. The Sharks, Henry Thrun, assisted from Kevin LeBanc, makes it a 1-goal game.
Sent to the net by Columbus. Save made by Krona. Up ice. comes LeBanc across the blue line. Feeps to the right, shot, score! Henry Thrun from Kevin LeBanc makes it a 3-2 game with 8:18 to go in the third. Right after a big save by Krona, the Sharks rush up the ice, and Thrun gets the Sharks back in it.
Second goal of the year for my friend Hank Thrun, as they like to call him. So it's a 3-2 game at this point, just a little bit over the halfway mark of the third period. Sharks, again, they're in it. A one-goal game on the road, down 3-2. I'll take that any day of the week. Unfortunately, at this point, Columbus added on the empty netter, and that would be all there was to this tale.
Sharks throw it around. Empty net. Shot by Addison. Tip wide by Sturm. Rebound near boards. Settling back to Granlund near half boards. Walks up to the left circle, holds it, shoots it, save. Oh, Sturm had the rebound. It went through his stick. We've got an empty net opportunity, and it's Nylander who scores. So Alex Nylander, since his acquisition from Pittsburgh at the deadline, has been setting the cannon off quite a bit here in Columbus. He gets his second goal of the game and third point of the night. Blue Jackets with the empty netter take the 4-2 lead at 18:55 of the third. Oh, such a close moment for Nico Sturm in front of the goal seconds before.
4-2 would be your final, and the Sharks do not get a whole lot of rest as they are taking on Chicago today at 3, 2:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. All right, we are going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get in some post-game sound, and you'll hear from Kyle Granlund. That's all coming up next on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Sent to the net by Columbus. Save made by Krona. Up ice comes LeBanc across the blue line. Feeps to the right, shot, score! Henry Thrun from Kevin LeBanc makes it a 3-2 game with 8:18 to go in the third. Right after a big save by Krona, the Sharks rush up the ice, and Thrun gets the Sharks back in it.
Just really not engaged physically. I thought we gave him way too much room and way too much respect, and just it was easy for him, way too easy. But I thought as the game went on, we got more engaged. We were more physical when we needed to be. And, you know, like I said, you know, our power play got better. I thought the third period probably had two really good looks. Just couldn't capitalize.
We're back in on a Sunday morning here on Morning Tide. The San Jose Sharks coming off a 4-2 loss to Columbus, and they turned it around very quickly today. 3 o'clock this afternoon, our time, taking on the Blackhawks in Chicago. 2:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. And then Tuesday night, one more on the road as they take on the Nashville Predators. And then they're back home Thursday hosting the Lightning, and then Chicago on Saturday, Dallas on Tuesday before they're back out on the road at the Wild and at the Blues to finish off the month of March. I know, folks, it goes fast. It goes fast. Let's get more from head coach David Quinn after last night's loss. Being asked what the Sharks needed to be better on the goals they gave up to Columbus. Of course, the breakaway reminiscent of what happened the last time they played against the Blue Jackets.
We talked about Gaudreau and breakaways, and we fell asleep. I mean, just a face-off, and we get lazy and, you know, puck watch, and there he goes again. And just really disappointing. You can't fall asleep like that against this team and someone like him. And then, you know, the goal they scored, the third one, I think it was, we just got beat out of the corner. It was a one-on-one. We had Jenner up against the wall, and we don't finish the job. So, you know, it can't be that easy, you know, and that's why we end up, you know, suffering today.
It can't be that easy, but unfortunately, and too often for the San Jose Sharks this year, they have made it easy on their opposition by making it difficult on themselves. And that's another one of those things that are part of the growing pains of a team going through a rebuild and needing to be that much better in the future. And again, you would hope that that future is coming sooner rather than later, but at the same time, it's a necessary aspect of what the Sharks are going through right now. And hopefully these mistakes that they have made and are making are something that they will ultimately learn from and not have as part of their game when they are back in the competitive part of the NHL in the next couple of seasons. Quinn also spoke to the opportunities the Sharks were creating, of which they did a good job yesterday, but he was asked if they were the right type of opportunities, if he saw enough high-danger chances.
I thought we did a much, much better job of being at the net more, shooting pucks, having a little bit more of a greasy mentality, getting inside, rebound chances, tips, and, you know, but 20 minutes of that's not enough. You got to do that for 60.
So I think overall a fair assessment of the game from David Quinn, and then the Sharks hopefully will be able to find their legs in short order as they go up against the Blackhawks today. Again, 2:30 pre, 3 o'clock go time right here on the Sharks Audio Network. All right, switching gears. I talked to Mikael Granlund on Friday afternoon. Obviously, we're very happy that he's not injured. I asked him a little bit about that and just the success that he's been having. Always an interesting guy to talk to, so here you go. Mikael, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing all good. Everything's good here in Columbus.
Nice. How does your leg feel today? Because everybody was quite concerned that you had taken a nasty injury last night. And then, to quote our Dan Ruzanowski, like Superman, you were out there like nothing had happened. And then you assisted on one goal that was taken away. And then you helped Kleem Kostin score his first goal at the San Jose Sharks. So, yeah, man, like, are you feeling good?
Yeah, I mean, that was scary. I mean, I feel like I got really lucky. Nothing bad happened. I might need to go put a lottery to get in today. But, you know, it's one of those situations. That's one of the situations in hockey that you really get scared that something bad could happen there. But I got lucky and, you know, I was able to finish the game.
Yeah, man. Sometimes it's good to be lucky, like they say. You know, it's interesting, man. You've only been here for not even a full season yet. But, you know, the fan base, your teammates, everyone has really taken to you. Everyone was obviously extremely concerned. And, you know, they've looked at you and the way you've been a leader on and off the ice. You know, is it nice, I suppose, from your perspective, to hear that the fan base and your teammates, everybody in such a quick amount of time is looking to you, as somebody who's a leader on and off the ice, and that, you know, there was so much concern when everyone thought you were seriously injured?
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously, you want to try to do the right things on and off the ice. So, and try to set the example for the guys here. So, obviously if, you know, that's something I tried to do, but, you know, obviously I don't know what we're talking about the situation last night, but yeah, I'm just glad I'm healthy and nothing bad happened.
Yeah, man. And you obviously are playing at an extremely high level. You have been all season long. You've been just a consistent contributor. I know that at other points I've asked you and you've said you felt as good as you have at any point in your career. Are you still of that opinion?
Yeah, I am, and the you know, like it's kind of cool to hit the 800 game mark, and I feel like my best hockey is ahead of me. So it's kind of cool feeling, knowing and feeling it's only gonna get better, and I'm just enjoying playing hockey right now.
Those 800 games. Does it feel like game number 1 or 100 was just yesterday?
No, not really. But yeah, I mean, it's been a long journey, but I'm just glad to still play this league, and like I said, it's such a good feeling knowing that geez, I still have a lot of good hockey in me for many years, so that's maybe the biggest takeaway from that, you know, the way I'm feeling, some of the changes I've done in my life, and, you know, kind of playing the one of the best hockey in my career and knowing it's only going to get better here for a little bit. So, it's a cool feeling.
I'm curious, you know, the read of the room since the trade deadline went down. Obviously, you're a veteran in this league. You've been through these situations before. How do you think the team has responded since such an eventful day last Friday?
I think that we have responded pretty good. Obviously, it's always tough to see some really good players to go, but at the same time, we all know the situation the organization is in. What do we need to do to get really good in the long run? So, that's one of those things that it's business, it happens, and, you just try to do your best every single day you go out there, and that's all we can focus on, and that's our plan.
Is it always a little bit tougher when a fellow countrymate like Capo leaves somebody who is from the same place as you?
Yeah, it's obviously sad to see, but like I said, there's a bunch of good guys in this locker room, and this is business of this game. You know, the trades happen, and you just move on and try to enjoy hockey.
What do you think of the two games on this road trip so far? Because the game in Philadelphia felt like, you guys were right there. It could have gone either way in that one. You unfortunately fall 3-2. Last night's game, it's a 3-3 game going into the second period. And you're going to the third period and you guys are right there. And then, Pittsburgh gets a couple of goals there and just kind of gets that empty netter at the end. But it felt like the effort was still good the entire way through.
Yeah, I think the effort has been good for the last two games. We've been going to the third periods in a tight game, and obviously haven't been able to get the job done. That's obviously something we need to get better at, but at least we're playing pretty good hockey even last night. There were some really good things out there. So, obviously you would like to be on the other side at the end of the game, but there's three more games on this road trip, and we'll see what's going to happen.
What have you thought of Magnus Crona, who's obviously getting his first extended run of play in the NHL? He's had some really, really good games. He had the game in Dallas, where he was really, really good there. Obviously, the win against Ottawa. What's your take on how he's looking?
He's been good. Obviously, this is his first time kind of getting some games in a row in NHL. So it's as a goalie, you always need to grow up to those situations. But I think he's been great for us, and I'm sure he's going to get only better.
What do you guys think you've got to do on Saturday against Columbus to walk out of there with the win?
I think there's been last game, there was a lot of good signs offensively too. We were playing fast. There's been some good things in our game. So hopefully we can keep it up and try to get the W and try to do your best out there.
All right, Mikhail. Well, I will let you go, man. I appreciate your time as always, and I'll see you when you're back in the Bay Area. All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Always good hearing from Mikhail Granlund, and we are obviously very, very happy that he has not ended up injured, because that was a little bit scary the other night. Always fun to talk to him, and so I think, just hearing his outlook, hearing his thoughts, I hope that he's a part of the Sharks' future. He's been a great player here in San Jose. Again, I think the fact that, everyone here in San Jose has taken to him very quickly as a leader on this team, the way he plays, his creativity, his ability to make things happen. The guy is just a good hockey player, for lack of a better term, and the Sharks need good hockey players right now, so I'm happy he is a part of this team. Also, tune into the build-up later today as I was able to interview Philip Zadina. I think that Zadina is another guy who is hopefully having a bit of that career rejuvenation that many hoped he would have. So yeah, he had some interesting stuff to say, so I think you should tune into that one as well. But we are just about out of time. Remember, coming up later today, 2:30 pregame, 3 o'clock go time, the San Jose Sharks in Chicago taking on the Blackhawks. Catch it right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.